Create silence. Create silence, and you shall find God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, welcome. Welcome into the era of noise. Almost everything around us is just constant noise. And the closer you are to civilization today, the more noise you shall hear. Unless you live, good for you, unless you live in the country, and still, you'll not be spared the constant humming and rumbling of cars and trucks, the loud sirens of police cars and fire trucks, music everywhere, anywhere, in every store, screeching of machines and buzzing of devices in your pockets, in your cars, in your homes, the noise from the aggressive virtual world of images and videos on our screens, on our billboards, all these things that hyper-stimulates our senses, giving them no rest. Noise, wrote a Benedictine monk, is omnipresent as the continual backdrop of our lives. The continual excitement and all these possibilities do not fulfill us, but make us restless. We easily pass from one stimulation to another in a feverish quest for sensations and news, that is, quest for noise. Our sensuality and curiosity overpower us. We're scattered, fragmented, according to impressions and impulsions in all directions. But the very first reality of nature is that it's a place of silence. Look at the change of seasons, the growth of trees and plants, the air we breathe. Everything seems covered with that peaceful and yet powerful spirit of silence. And yet, we are all afraid of silence. Maybe we have lost much of our capacity to contemplate because we have lost the spirit of silence. Of course, I do not say that there is no noise in nature, no, but it seems that the equation has changed. In our modern industrial and virtual world, with all this technology around us, yes, the equation has switched, changed. In nature, noise comes as a surprise. Think of thunder or waterfalls. It comes only to break the natural silence that's present. However, in our modern environment now, silence comes as that surprising, an uncomfortable moment that we must escape from as soon as possible. So where does contemplation fit in that world? If nature is the place of contemplation, as willed by the Creator, and if our proximity to nature is often reduced to whatever we can read about it or watch about it, how can contemplation truly be an essential part of our existence? Technology often places a veil or a wall before, in front of our capacity to wander, to contemplate. We have never talked as much about nature and the need to preserve it than today. And yet, we have never been so distant from it. Because we have forgotten that nature and the work of our Creator is primarily a source of religious silence and profound contemplation. As Christ retired in the silence of the desert before facing his executioner and the most ignominious death, we are also invited to retire from the noise of the world during this holy season. And so first, it is important to maintain in the soul and mind that natural capacity we have received from our Creator to wonder, to contemplate, to cultivate in us the spirit of contemplation, like an innocent amazement at the sight of the simple things around us that God has provided for our own enjoyment and pleasure. So let's not become disenchanted, jaded souls, as is too often the case among our contemporaries. And I'm very fortunate to have had a father who shared with me growing up this love for wonder and contemplation in simple things, the simple reality of what surrounds us, like stars, the ocean, the growth of plants, etc. I remember when he would take us on the porch just outside of the house or behind the glass sometimes when there was big thunderstorms around. Of course, we were not as pleased as he was, but that triggered in us the desire for contemplation to let us discover the beauty and marvels of God in creation. So fathers, live daily also of that simple amazement and share it. Share it with your children, because tomorrow it's too late. What is the image your children have of that spirit of contemplation you want to cultivate in their hearts? If they see dad constantly on his phone, watching TV, sitting in the couch, what kind of image of contemplation will he have? Why is contemplation and this education to contemplation so important? Because I think it also fosters greater sentiments of gratitude. Of gratitude. People would certainly be much more joyful and happy if they were taught that simple practice of the virtue of gratitude. I explain. When we acknowledge that not everything is due to us, that we receive it, but that a generous invisible hand provides all the basic elements of life, then we become more humble, and then joy also surely inundates our soul. Because we know that we receive all these things despite our demerit. And I do not think I'm wrong if I tell you that absolutely everything we see around us in nature was meant to be there for only one purpose. One purpose: men's pleasure and enjoyment. Angels and animals don't really care about it. Only man finds in it the loving and caring presence of his Maker. In a world plagued with sadness, discouragement, and even depression, contemplation and gratitude will be a powerful remedy. Which shall, after much patience and perseverance, rekindle in those souls sentiments of peace and joy. And the weakest souls shall find therein a sense of purpose which they had lost. Maybe an opportunity here for a silent retreat. Silent retreats, of course, you know of the beautiful grounds at our National Retreat Center in Burlington, Wisconsin, which offers certainly a spiritual experience perfectly in line with everything I just mentioned. And I know already some of you have been there and really deeply benefited from these retreats. So don't be afraid to take a few days, a weekend, a few days of silent retreat to go back to the essential. Now, after understanding the importance of cultivating a spirit of contemplation, the question remains, how is that even possible in our world today? I think both in disciplining our use of technology and in keeping a better guard over our exterior senses, we can rebuild around us an environment that would be more conducive to contemplation. Lent is not simply a time of mourning of penance, of reparation for our sins. That's the more negative side of it. But the more positive side now is also to work on our sanctification, to recenter our lives on the only necessary thing, my love for God. And it is in contemplating regularly divine realities that I will find myself attracted more and more to them. Love what we love. We want to be attracted. We want to be united to it. We are attracted to it. So as our attachment to God and to divine reality grows, the identification to them asserts itself. So practicing a form of detachment from everything that is not God, everything that is not God, or at least from whatever cannot be looked upon as means leading us to Him. This, my friends, will give us a true freedom. Disciplining our senses, but for that we also need to feed them with what is true, what is beautiful, what is good. And so let's ask ourselves, when is last time I went for a silent walk in a park or in the woods somewhere alone or with my family? When is last time I visited a museum and spent a few minutes in front of a beautiful painting? When is last time I turned off my phone for more than 3 hours? Yeah, that's a lot. When is last time I took the time to prepare a simple meal with real vegetables, potatoes, and other ingredients, rather than throwing in the oven a frozen meal? Yes, my friends, we might smile, but without this connection to the most essential elementary aspects of our humanity, of our human existence, I'm afraid that my capacity to recollect, to elevate my mind to higher realities, that capacity I want to cultivate, hopefully, might simply be reduced to my attendance to Mass on Sunday. Only opportunity during the week when I can somehow recenter on that spirit of contemplation. And yet, we all know that it is still very difficult in church because of all the normal distractions we have. So we are the religion of incarnation. Our nature requires these basic considerations. Whatever our environment, we must be the guardian of the entrance of our soul. And St. Bernard has this great explanation. He has a good point when he says that there's no point cleaning up the house, inside the house, if the doors and windows are left open all the time. Custody of our senses will allow greater freedom. But we all know it. It's a warfare. It's a constant battle against our own self. Thankfully, Lent is not over. Lent is not over. So let us, with patience, carry on. If, by the end of Lent, I can acquire a little bit of this capacity to contemplate with gratitude and find joy in it, if I can acquire a better sense of what can transcend my own self, elevate my mind, and what can give me a greater distaste for anything that is an obstacle to that contemplation, if I can do a little bit of all this, yes, I will have learned a lot and made great progress this Lenten season. So let's continue to thirst for God. Starve for His presence. Let die to all other love in order to live to Jesus' love, as St. Francis de Sales says. Let's become more contemplative souls. It is not reserved for religious, priests, monks, nuns, whoever. No, everyone is called to become contemplators. The more we contemplate divine realities and the simple things of nature, as well understood in ancient Greece, well understood by St. Thomas Aquinas, who starts building his philosophy and theology on the simple amazement at what surrounds us in nature. So the more we contemplate, the more we become contemplators, the more we can also encourage souls to become contemplators. In a word that is oftentimes so ugly, contemplation is the beginning of wisdom. Contemplation is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom, in turn, has no other desires than to contemplate the truth. Wisdom contemplates the truth. And in contemplating the truth, we shall find God. I will let St. John of the Cross conclude for us. He says, one of the outstanding favors God grants briefly in this life is an understanding and experience of himself, so lucid and lofty as to make one know clearly that he cannot be completely understood or experienced. The thirst, the quest that I mentioned, thirst for God. Those who understand God more understand also more distinctly the infinitude which remains to be understood. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.